You know, it was a tremendous blessing hearing Brother Cliff sing. I remember Brother Cliff back in Coral Ridge Baptist many, many years ago when I met Pastor Larry. And the first time I heard his voice, it's touching. It touches your heart. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Appreciate it. Thank you, praise team. And today's message is encouragement. And you saw Pastor Ivan and Dennis were sitting here showing you a small clip of what encouragement is. I'm going to be talking about encouragement. The word encouragement appears approximately 105 times in the New Testament. If we turn to Hebrews number 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Amen. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Throughout the Bible, we see instruction to encourage one another, and verses that mean to encourage us. So why is it that encouragement emphasized in the Bible? It's primarily because encouragement is necessary to our walk of point number one, faith. Amen. Amen? Amen? See, Jesus told his followers, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. See, Jesus overcame the world. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're suffering, you got people that are going through physical suffering, people that are going through mental suffering. We all need encouragement. I need encouragement. Amen. You know, this morning, I went to bed about 1:30. And I didn't put an alarm clock. But for some reason, at 5:30, I was up. And I felt like I had slept literally 24 hours. The Holy Spirit woke me up, and that was my encouragement this morning. See, we all need encouragement. So, when Jesus told his followers, in this world you have trouble, Jesus did not shy away from telling his followers that. He told them they would have trouble, but then he gave them a prediction, which is a sparkling word. He says he has overcome the world. If we know that Jesus overcame the world, we know where we stand. Amen. We know who's with us. If we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that comforts us, we know when we are in trouble, when we are sick, when we are going through trials and tribulation, we have the Holy Spirit that encourages us. At all times. Let us turn to Matthew 10, verse 22 through 23. Matthew 10, verses 22 to 23. So since Jesus has overcome the world, Jesus is greater than any trouble, any problem you can ever face. Matthew's, reading from Matthew 10, 22-23. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who's endured to the end will be saved. We got to pick up that cross daily. We got to remind ourselves what Christ did for us. We got to continue to give it to God. When you find yourself discouraged, you got to give it to God. When you find yourself in a position where you don't know who to turn to, or anyone that's there to encourage you, you got to pray and give it to God. Amen. The Holy Spirit will encourage you. So, Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus is greater than any trouble that point number two we face. Without encouragement, hardship becomes meaningless. And our will to go on just wears down. You know, the prophet Elijah struggled with discouragement. If we turn to We're going to be turning back and forth, so keep your Bibles open. 1 Kings 19, verses 3 through 10. 1 Kings 19, verses 3 to 10. Amen. Elijah says, when he saw that he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judea, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coils and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strait of that food for 40 days and 40 nights, as far as the mountains. So God and of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your altar and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." The prophet Elijah struggled with discouragement. And so do we. We need encouragement. So it is important to remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We know that our struggle against principalities in the air, the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces and evil in the heavenly places. Let us turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Amen. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principality, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up some of the armor of God." Take up half of the armor of God? Oh, okay. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having all stand, therefore having rid the breastplate of righteousness." So it says we got to put on the whole armor of God in order to withstand against the devil. See, the devil is cunning. He's a liar. He's the father of all liars. He's out to deceive our minds. He's trying to overtake you. So how do you fight them? You can't fight them with weapons of mass destruction. How do you fight them? By the whole armor of God. You put on the whole armor of God. But you just don't do it. You do it daily. You pick up that cross daily. And you keep giving it to God. Amen. See, the devil doesn't play fair. And we all know that. He's out to get us all. So we need to remember to put on the whole armor of God. Like it says in Ephesians 6, 12. So this truth makes encouragement all the more important. It's not just that we face the world's displeasures. We are caught in the crosshairs of a spiritual battle. When we are encouraging Christ, we have the strength to put on our spiritual armor to fight the devil and his fallen angels. Amen? Amen? Amen. We can't do it alone. Amen. I can tell you from experience, can't do it alone. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to pray in supplication. So even in places where Christians do not experience persecution or hatred, we all know that life can be difficult. We all have ups and downs. We all go through changes and, you know, mood swings, but at times. But recognizing that there is a meaning in the seemingly inconsequential things we do not see next to impossible, we may want to give up at times. I know there's times, and a lot of us want to just give up and throw in the white towel. I can't do this anymore. I don't know who to turn to. I need someone to encourage me. That's why it was our responsibility to go out and encourage someone. Amen. You know, if you look, I know a lot of people that need encouragement. And that's, my prayer is every time I go someplace, God, use me. Amen. Whatever which way you want to use me. I was at the hospital in Miami with Sunita on Friday, and, I always pray, and I have my cell phone, which I have the blue letter Bible on there, and what I do is I open up my cell phone, I start to pray, and I say, Lord, send me someone that I can encourage. Send me someone that I can witness to. Send me someone that's hurting. Someone that lost a loved one. Someone that's going through testing and trials in their life. Someone that just doesn't know what to do. Send me someone so I can just witness to them and encourage them. That's my prayer. So at times we get discouraged. But when we find when we want to give up, yet he who calls us to be faithful, he gives us the what? The power to be, point number three, faithful. And that's how we do it. Amen. With the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a man in the earlier age named Joseph was given the nickname Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. What a blessing Barnabas was to the believers of his days. Through the encouragement of Barnabas, the Apostle Paul was first accepted by the church in Jerusalem. Through the encouragement of Barnabas, Mark was given a second chance. See, if Barnabas didn't encourage Paul, see, Paul was a little bit disappointed because they were supposed to go on a trip, and Mark literally walked out and went the other way. So Paul said, "You know, this is serious stuff. We gotta leave. We cannot allow this man to come back and leave us flat again." So he turned around, and Barnabas says no. He gave Paul a word of encouragement, and Paul, because of the encouragement of Barnabas, Paul accepted Mark and then went back to preach. And that's what happens when we encourage. Okay, encouragement makes it easier to live in a fallen world. We're living in a fallen world. We're living in hard times. All this that's happening in the past couple of months, with all the shootings, all the murdering, all the stuff we see on the news, every time you turn on your TV, is bad news. And not only that, you got these young folks senseless for no reason. We need to look, young folks, you guys are in a position to talk to your friends. Encourage them. Amen. Give them advice. Just one word of encouragement can change that young person's mind and put them on the right track. Not only that, when you encourage someone, God will use you to encourage that person, and someone else will come and encourage you. We're living in a fallen world. In a holy way, we're fighting that battle. So encouragement makes it easier to love like Jesus loved us. See, Jesus loved us before we loved him. So encouragement makes it easier to love that same love that Jesus had for us, we have for the world. And encouragement natures patience and tested. Let us turn to Hebrews 12, verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Okay, hold that chapter right there. Encouragement helps us through times of discipline. And testing. So reading from Hebrews, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as the sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scores every son who he receives. So we need to remember that God, in order to for us to walk straight, he needs to correct us. He needs to give us directions. So we need to continue to, even in places where you find that. Encouragement makes it easier to sacrifice our own desires for the advancement of God. In short, encouragement makes it easier to live a Christian life. See, it's not easy. See, when I know many, many years ago when I came to the Lord, I needed encouragement. And approximately 34 years ago when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I had a good friend of mine that since went to be with the Lord. His name was Ben. And he witnessed to me. And I've never been the same. Because he stuck by me. He kept encouraging me. He kept giving me words of wisdom. He just kept helping me in my walk with the Lord. So in turn, we need to do the same. If you see someone that's struggling, pick them up. Talk to them. Encourage them. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Let them know that God will never leave them, will never forsake them. Without encouragement, life would soon feel pointless and burdensome. And without encouragement, we can be overwhelmed by the very real pains of life. And without encouragement, we feel unloved. I don't know how many here today, does anyone here remember ever feeling unloved? Well, I can tell you, growing up as a child, I felt very unloved. I have both parents, but the only one that was always there for me was my mom. Boy, I miss my mama. My father, on the other hand, was in the world while my mother was home taking care of 10 siblings. And because of my mother's prayers, I'm here today.
Amen.
I tell you, if it wasn't for Mama, I wouldn't be here today with her prayers. And in the word, listen, no one can give encouragement like a mom. My mom would give me an encouragement word that would literally lift me off my feet and put me right back on track. If she saw me slipping, she would pray. And she would call me over and say, hug me and give me a hug and say, son, it's going to be okay. God is with you. I'm praying for you. God loves you. I love you. No matter what your father's doing, it's okay. God will handle that. Don't worry about that. I miss her. I do miss my mama. And I know she's in heaven. And one day I will see her.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So without encouragement, we can be overwhelmed with every pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we feel unloved. And without encouragement, we begin to think that God is a liar or is unconcerned with our welfare. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. The Bible tells us to encourage one another, to remind each other of the truth that God loves us. Amen. That God equips us, that we are treasures in His eyes. That our struggles are worth it. So anyone here today struggling, your struggles are worth it. Don't give up. Encouragement from the Bible gives us the will to carry on, to move forward, not back. It's a glimpse of the bigger picture. It can actually prevent burnout. I know how many people today I have known people that have been serving the Lord so many years and they just get burnt out. They don't have the strength to go on. So by you encouraging these people, they come back to the Lord. We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to remind each other daily that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You know, in Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone. God's word is full of encouragement. Over 105 times in the Bible. What's important to recognize in the midst of the situation that seems impossible in our lives, like finding a new husband. No, you don't want a new husband. You're good. You don't want that. You're good with the one you got. Stay with him. He's good. Is that when we surrender the problem to God, right? Control, it automatically enters the what? The realm of possibility. See, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. See, without God, nothing's possible. All things are impossible without God. So we need to remember, we give it to God. God is in control. All things are possible with God. Amen. So God's word transcends our circumstances. No matter what we're facing in life right now, I can honestly tell you, we can still trust that God says about Himself is true. Let us turn to Matthew 19:26. And when you turn to Matthew 26, keep it in Matthew's. We're going to go to another page, another scripture in the Bible. Matthew 19:26. Everybody here? Amen? Okay. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? Now let us turn to Matthew 6, a couple of chapters down. Chapter 6, verse 7 through 8. Matthew 6, 7 through 8. Okay, hold on that chapter right there. Matthew 6, 7 through 8. Okay. So about God, that He hears our prayers before we ask Him. See, God knows before you even ask Him what you need. Can you imagine? He knows what you need before you even ask Him. So Matthew's, we are commanded not to worry about anything. The future. For the same reason, God knows our needs. So reading from Matthew 6, 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as others do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. You have need of, before you ask Him, in this manner, therefore pray. So it's asking us to pray. So you pray and you wait. God knows what you need, no matter what. Nothing's too big for God. He knows what you need. And we don't have to worry about anything, but simply recognizing that God is in total control. And he has all of our best interests, no matter what. There's times I find myself in a position where I say, and I say, you know, I'm not bad at all. I'm not going through nothing. But my neighbor's going through something. My other neighbor's going through a testing or a hard deal. The devil don't discriminate. So what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to pray for them. Amen. Invite them to church. Encourage them. Amen. Let them know that God knows their thoughts before they even ask, and that I'm praying for them. That little word of encouragement will lift that person up and put them back on solid ground. Amen. Believe me, it's God's word. Knowing that God says he would provide for us is one thing. Even when we can't find a good job, it's quite another to be able to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding from God. Now, we're going to go, discouragement is often a matter of the heart. It enters the mind, but it's from the heart. A good question to ask, what am I focusing my attention on? The problem or God? What do we focus our attention on, the problem or God? See, because if you're focusing on the problem, you're not going to get rid of the problem. If you're focusing on God, he will give you the strength to come out from that test or problem. Amen. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you're feeling, no matter, I don't know your pain. You don't know my pain. But I can pray for you, you can pray for me. Amen. I can encourage you, you can encourage me. You know, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what are we focusing on? God or the problem? Give it to God. Amen. Give it to God. Amen. Give it to God. And you'll see what God can do with your problem. Continue to pray and wait and be still. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. And it's also important to realize what God has amazing plans. See, God has a plan for you, Brother Jim. God has a plan for you, Sister Doreen. God has a plan for you, Brother Dennis. His plan is not our plan. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We need to give it to God. Pray and wait patiently. Amen. Let us turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. 29 verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him and do him no harm, but do him just as he says to do. So Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, sent Ramgad, and all the kings of Babylon chief officers, they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to the sons of Achan. It is important to realize that while God has an amazing plan for each of us, we also have an enemy. His name is Satan. And Satan will love anything more than to see us fail. That to see us discouraged from trusting in God and doing God's work. See, the way Satan works, he prowls around to see who he can attack. So this is what happens. The Bible describes Satan as one who prowls around like a roaring lion. In 1 Peter 5:8. The way for a lion to bring down his prey is to first isolate them from his herd. It is easier for Satan to discourage us when we are disconnected from Christ. We fall into his trap. That's how he attacks us. By isolating us from the body of Christ. From believers. And he discourages us. You don't have to come to church. It's okay. Church will be there next Sunday. You don't have to go for studies on Wednesday. Don't worry about it. That's a boring class. You don't need to go there. You don't have to go to so-and-so's house. Someone else will go there and pray for them. Satan is the father of liars. He will use every tactic to stop us from doing God's work. What do? We need to continue, like I said at the beginning, put on the whole armor of God to fight the enemy. We can't fight him alone. But with the help of all the encouragement of the believers here on Sundays and Wednesdays, we are filled to go out and do God's work. Amen. We can visit the neighbor. We can go out and pray for the one that's sick. We can come to church on Sundays. Amen. This is how Satan works. I call him the crafty little guy. That's exactly what he is. He's not big. So we need to remember how he works. What does he do? So, having godly people in our lives who know what we're going through, the situation and the testing and the trials and tribulation, can pray with us. And they can and can lift us up again and encourage us to come to church. To remind us what God wants us to do. And that, to me, is probably the biggest encouragement. Because coming to Living Hope Church, I get texts from everyone. I get calls. That encourages me to move forward, to keep moving, to keep going. And I would never give up. If it wasn't for Living Hope Church, I don't know what I would do. Thank God for Living Hope Church. We got a group of believers that care for each other. No matter what pain we're going through. You know, the gift of encouragement or exhortation is found in Paul's list of gifts in Romans 12, 7, 8. The world translated encouragement or exhortation is the Greek word for paraclete, relating to means basically a call to one side. Bringing someone closely to you to encourage them, to exalt them, to urge, to encourage, to give joy and comfort to him or her. All these actions make up the gift of encouragement. For example, Paul often urged his readers to act on something he wrote. A good example is in Romans 12, 1, 2. Let us turn to Romans 12, 1, 2. Romans 12, 1, verse 2. Amen. And do not be conformed to this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't conform yourself with the world. Continue to seek God. So when he gives us all these actions, make the gift of recovery. So what we need to do is we need to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We need to continue to do God's work. Don't get discouraged. Keep running that race. Go to the end. It's a long race, but you got to get to that finish line. You can't do it on your own. You need a group of believers. You need someone that can encourage you to get to the finish line. You know, interestingly, when Jesus spoke with his disciples on the night of his arrest, he spoke of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that comes alongside, like I mentioned at the beginning. Which is why the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred as the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside and exalts us and encourages us. You know, a person with the gift of encouragement can use his gift in public and private settings. So, all of us here are gifted. Sister Doreen, you work in a hospital. You're gifted. You can encourage a lot of patients. You can encourage as many people as God puts in your path. And I know you do. God bless you, daughter, Sister Doreen. And that's what we got to do. We can go to hospitals. We can go to, my plan is to go to prisons. Encourage prisoners. The sick. When I take Miss Anita to an appointment, I ask God to give me one person to encourage, to talk to. One. He never fails. Sometimes he gives me a lot more than one, and I talk to them. And that's a blessing. And I share with them. The gospel. I share with them with God. I don't beat them over the head with the Bible, but I do share. But first, be an ear and encourage them. So when he spoke of the Holy Spirit as the helper, the comforter, which is why it comes to live in you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, automatically the Holy Spirit abides in you. And he comforts you. It's a long process, but he starts to work in you. And eventually, you continue to grow. I remember many years ago, it's called the first love. Many of you know what I'm talking about. The first love, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. They call it the first love back then. I was so brave. I thought I was Superman. I would walk into New York City subways and start talking from the first car all the way to the end, what God did in my life. No regards for anything. I don't care who was there. No one's going to stop me. That was the Holy Spirit that lived in me. He guided me. So a person with the gift of encouragement can use them both in public and private setting. As encouragement is useful in counseling, discipleship, and mentoring, preaching, the body of Christ is built up in faith. A gift of encouragement or exhortation differs from the gift of teaching. See, in that of exhortation focuses on the practical application of the Bible, where one with the gift of encouragement focuses on the meaning and content of the word. One with the gift of encouragement focuses application of the word. He or she can relate to others. If you have the gift of encouragement, you can automatically relate to other people. So, a teacher is different from an encouragement. A teacher says, this is the way you should go. But encouragement says, I will help you go that way. And that's what we need to do. We need to help. We got a lot of people out there that are discouraged. And my prayer today is that when we leave here, we leave with one word, encouragement. Amen. I'm going to leave you with Psalms 19:14, where I know a lot of the people that meet in the prayer room every Sunday know this by heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, I wanna make a calling. If there's anyone here today that hasn't made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as the only Savior, you gotta do four things. First, you got to accept that you're a sinner. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, you must accept as a sinner, you own a penalty. But it says that for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Third, you must accept that Jesus Christ has already paid that penalty. That's Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Fourth, you must accept by faith what Jesus Christ did for us. That's all you had to do. So my prayer goes out. I want to leave you with the word believe. In the Bible, the word believe appears approximately 250 times. The word believe. In the New Testament and the Gospel of John, the word believes appears approximately 90 times. You got to believe that Jesus is Lord. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask right now as we pray, I'm going to ask that we bow our heads.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.